My microphone, yes, it is. Good morning. Good morning to all here present. My name is Marloes Mollet. I'm the moderator of this event. And today we have a very special edition. We are joined by many colleagues who are not present here at the Gustav, but at branches throughout the Netherlands. So good morning. I will look in the camera and wave at them. So good morning to you. But also, we are welcoming colleagues abroad. So, good afternoon to Asia Pacific. They are joining us as well, so I'm very happy with that. And also, other colleagues throughout Europe. So, very good, and I'm very happy that you were able to join. So, what's on today's menu? Because it's the beginning of 2019, we will look back. At first, at 2018. We will talk about our quarterly results, which were published yesterday, of course. And then we will look ahead. What will 2019 and the future bring us? And of course, there will be lots of opportunities to ask your questions and share your thoughts and feelings with our CEO and our CFO. Just before I will introduce our speakers to you, I would like to share some practicalities. We will try to make this session as interactive as possible, so keep your mobile phone at hand. We will ask several questions during this program via Mentimeter. I will explain to that later. And everyone can join, so not only the people present here and in the auditorium, but everybody who is watching, well, from Tokyo or Greece or Eindhoven, wherever you may be. Then now I would like to give the floor to Kees van Dijkhuizen, our CFO, and he will have a conversation. Do I see CFO again? Yeah? I think that's my thing. I'm sorry, Clifford. And the problem is, I stressed it in my cards, the E. Yeah, sorry about that. But he's joined by Jeroen van Maarschalkenweert, and he is our head of media relations and public affairs. So give them a warm applause.
Well, good morning to you all. Kees, yeah, we are going to look back at 2018. Yeah, the strategy journey. How was it, 2018? What did happen and what did not happen, but especially what did happen?
I think 2018 for me, especially indeed the purpose, development of the purpose with you all and with clients, I think was a very important part of 2018. And together with that, the strategy, we will talk more about that. And so those two, I would say, are very important for the bank. We invested a lot of time in that. And of course, sometimes I talk a little bit about figures still, Marloes, so you're excused. The full year figures were good as well. I think it's also important that you, of course, make good returns, which we did, 11.5, 2.3 billion, so that was good. But on top of the financials, it's also important that your strategy is clear and that you have a clear purpose.
Yeah, and We presented a clear purpose, banking better for generations to come. I fell in love with it, to be honest. It's maybe a bit weird to say, but it got under my skin and it touched my heart, so to say. And yeah, but it really did. I was surprised myself. But then, yeah, it was also mentioned. You like to talk about figures. Also, your former CFO and CFOs, they like numbers. They like Excel sheets. Sorry, Clifford. When did you fell in love? With strategy, what?
Yeah, when we started, I would say 1.5 years ago, and actually you guys started with ideas around the commercial real estate and also financing our 150 billion mortgage portfolio. When you started with that team, we discussed it in Exco in October 1.5 years ago, and we thought, okay, is this something which is going to work for the bank? Because it has to work for all the parts of the bank, and especially, of course, for the corporate bank. We were thinking about, well, that's a stretch. Yeah? I mean, talking about houses is easy. Yeah? Make it more sustainable. Everybody agrees. And private banking, everybody agrees. But when it gets to energy, fossil, and palm oil and the likes, it gets more complicated. So we thought, can we do this for the whole bank? Because if not, we should not take this on board. And then we discussed it a lot, I think for 6 months more or less last year. And said, yes, this is going to work also for all parts of the bank. People were engaged in every part of the bank. Employee engagement gave 93% of you saying we want to build a more sustainable bank. And then we thought, yes, let's go for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's great because yeah. 93%, that's a lot.
It's a high figure.
I'm one of them, as said. But if you look outside to society, society at large, our stakeholders, not everybody is that enthusiastic about sustainability, about if you look at the political debate also in the Netherlands, how do you see that? Did you get a lot of headwind while introducing this strategy internally, externally?
No, actually not, because we did learning labs with clients, we did learning labs with staff, and with clients I remember very well, was over a year now, and they said, yes, we love this team, and by the way, some clients, big ship owners, are light years ahead of us building the ships. They think already 25 years ahead, of course, but smaller ones said, yes, we have trouble with it, because we see the sustainable development, so we need help. So if you can help us, that's great. But they also told us, look, we're also a customer of your bank, and to get a loan from you and other stuff, you can improve that as well. And staff said, that's all good, but onboarding, talent development, what have you, we also appreciate more attention for us in the bank. So that, and then we ended up actually from the sustainability theme to accelerate the sustainability shift of our clients, so focused on clients, and clients separate, their journey, and also our employees. It's called Future Proof Bank, but it's basically also everything around our staff. So it developed in discussing, and that I think is good, because that is how you have to do these processes. And also afterwards, we did not go into the bank and say, look guys, this is the new strategy, do you like it? No, we said, this is the new strategy, there are dilemmas, can we make a profit and be sustainable as well? Can we stick with our clients who are not yet there? And coming back on your question in society, I think it's that very much has to do with paying bills. Eh? And that is always a theme. And of course, when there is elections around the corner, then it gets always a bit more attention. But I would say that you need, like we with our clients, you need time. Eh? Like, for instance, our energy portfolio, you can't do that in one day. You have to take a time frame, say 10 years or something like that. So when you are realistic about your time frame and don't say, hey guys, tomorrow your gas boiler has to go and you have to pay 10,000, yeah, then people say, get away. Yeah, they don't like that. So you have to bring your story in a credible way.
Yeah, yeah. And talking about the dilemmas, what was the biggest dilemma you encountered or we are still encountering?
Well, my first one was actually related to the corporate bank, to be honest. Because the corporate bank already, of course, had low returns, There's also Basel IV cloud around the corporate bank. So there's a lot of challenges around the bank, and then also the challenge of sustainability. But we have said and discussed it extensively with everybody in corporate bank that this is the way forward. And also they say this is really, you get the better clients who also amend business models, and in the end they are, well, better developed, less risky and what have you. So that was the first one. And the second one we're still discussing, that's about disengagement. So, okay, if you discuss with clients, how much time do you need? How can we help you? And then, of course, when clients would say, well, we really don't want to do that because we don't have the money or we don't like the ID. Yeah, then saying no to a client at some moment in time is, of course, a difficult thing. And there are a lot of questions about can you make money with the sustainable investments? Because everybody jumps on sustainable investments. And if that's the case, of course, returns go down. And what then? And you have also shareholders. You have still 56% to sell. So, what the heck? How is that going to work? So those are fair questions. And I think that was good. I would say that was good that we started after having discussed the strategy that we went into the bank campaigning. Saying, look, guys, this is what we think about it, but we want your view, your questions, take on board, improvements, what have you. And that's the way we are doing it. So I think it's not only the content which made it work well, because this Mentimeter, we had the word clouds as well from all the cities. I presented them also yesterday to the press. And they were quite positive. They were actually very positive, to be honest. And that shows in one word that people are engaged. But it also means the process. Not only the content, but also the process. Take them on board. Take their worries, questions, dilemmas on board and discuss them further.
Yeah. And our strategy is also more about, it's about more than sustainability alone.
Yeah.
And I see people get engaged on the sustainability pillar. It's a good story we have there, I think. And it's green, it's social impact. But are people also engaged on the other two pillars of our strategy?
Yeah, I think the first one is important, that this banking for better, and that's important also. That should not become a bumper sticker, you know, banking for better for generations to come. So it's very important that you load it with concrete KPIs, and that you get, and that's what we got back from staff as well. Give me the flesh on the bones. Show me this 2030. What does it mean for me today? No. And tomorrow.
Can you give some examples?
Yeah, I can give some examples. But first, coming back to your question about not only green, because that's one which is important as well. We've said, no, it's very important when, for instance, clients with our bank have trouble with their debt. And it can be an interest-only mortgage, which they don't have savings at the end of the period. That's a possibility. But also people having credit card debts, or people have other consumer debts. We work with them now, and that can be 10, 20, 30,000, and we make an arrangement with, if they want, of course, to, in, say, 7 years, help them to lower that to zero. And sometimes we lower interest rates, we help them. Not allowed to say that, I think, from the consumer bank, but we do it sometimes for special cases, of course.
Helping clients, you can say that we help clients.
Yeah. But so we do that to help clients as well. And we even withdraw credit cards when people build up debts. And then we got actually a compliment from the consumer organization for that. But it's also about the financial care coaches we have. We also use people who are retired from our bank to help them help the people, senior people who have problems with the digital new world. So we do that. So it's very broad. It's about that. We also support the heart, the Dutch Heart Foundation, to create a smoke-free. Sorry, Gerard, smoke-free, smoke-free society. So that kind of stuff. It's very broad. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. And on the other pillars of the strategy.
Yeah.
Also, future-proof bank. Can you give some examples there of what we achieved in 2018?
Well, we discussed what is stuff we can improve, and then one of the things was, for instance, the onboarding. So between an interview and then working the first few weeks, and that's not only at the level of new employees just starting in a bank, but also at ex-bo level. I hear the same ex-co level. I hear the same complaint about, well, I have to find out how to get my way in this bank. Well, that's something we can presumably do better, so we're working on that. Talent development is something people like more, to have more invested in them and the like. So that's a good example, I would say, on that front.
Okay, well, thanks. Maybe to round up a little, what is your biggest personal achievement in the strategy? What thing are you most proud of to have achieved in last year?
Well, I think together with the team, with the ExCo, and then with the whole bank, to get alignment around a team where in the end 93% of the people say, yes, we want to work in that direction. And that you can align all your stakeholders, so not only your clients, but also your staff, also society, and also shareholders. I think if you can do that together with a bank and staff says 93%, we love it, well, I'm proud of that.
Yeah, and the most difficult thing you encountered on the journey in this strategy?
To work out the dilemmas. And come up with answers with respect to the dilemmas, because it's fair dilemmas. There is pressure on returns in some of the investments in sustainability, and there is trouble with engagement with clients. So those are fair questions.
Okay. Well,
yeah, working on it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
And, welcome to Marie.
Well, thank you, Kees and Jeroen, for sharing your thoughts about 2018. And please stay on stage with me, because I would like to ask the audience what they thought of 2018. So pick up your mobile phone, go to menti.com. Well, it's very small on the right end of our slide. And press the numbers over there, enter the numbers, the code. Hope everything is working. And then you will see the questions. How do you feel when you look back at 2018? I hope everything is working. I heard that, we have a delay of 1.5 minutes from Tokyo and Shanghai. So we will give them a couple of seconds to join us as well. But already on the screen... just as normal. And I will ask you, Kees, what you think when you see this.
Well, proud.
I hope they think of the bank, but maybe they think also about themselves or what they achieved in 2018.
Doesn't matter.
Terrible. I saw the word terrible. Oh, also a happy face. Everything's working, I see.
Well, proud stays in the middle.
I think, proud is the... that's kind of a grayish... But it is the biggest word. Proud of themselves, proud of the bank, probably. Hopefully.
Change also, I think.
Change.
That's one we did not discuss. I did not mention, but...
yeah.
There has been a lot of change in the bank. Also, when I visit... offices, the new agile way of working, that's really something people are still working on.
Yeah.
And, well,
there's a lot of change.
But proud is it's a bit of the word clouds we got also from when we did the campaigning
throughout
the country.
Yeah, in the country. But you also went abroad for that, huh?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, also.
There's a lot going on here present at the Gustav
but
as well.
But it's also challenging. I like that. Because let's not be all happy faces. But it's good. Change. Yeah.
Looks good. That's good to see that the number's still adding up. But we had a 5-minute delay. So I would like to thank Kees and Jeroen.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You.
Give them all applause. And now I would like to invite our CFO, Clifford Abrahams, on stage to give us some insights on the bank's financial performance. Please, Clifford.
Morning. It's great to be here, talking to everybody here, but also across the Netherlands and across the world. Actually, we have a full house in a number of the rooms in Asia, I'm sure also in Europe, so that's really good. That's a first. That's starting to future-proof communications. So I'll talk some more about our financial results 2018, what went well, what didn't go so well, and where we're going, and I'll talk through each of the businesses and then also how the equity market responded, and try and link it to what Kees and Jeroen talked about earlier. Moving on, lots of numbers, but I've put here both Q4 and full year 2018, because there's a bit of a story there, and I saw some of the comments on the word cloud earlier. So I've circled the numbers at the bottom, and you can see Q4 bottom line profit actually was pretty disappointing. You can see that down 42% from last year. So let's, you know, we need to be open about where things aren't going so well and when things are going so well. For the year as a whole, 2.3 billion actually was pretty good, although it was down on last year. As Kees said, our return on equity, the money we make compared to our overall funds, was pretty good at 11%. So that's pretty good, and I'll talk through, you know, what's going on, what happened in Q4, and why we feel okay about 2018 as a whole, and in particular 2019. So going down the P&L, you can see operating income down a little bit in Q4. We sold our a number of businesses in Q4 last year. We had some gains, private equity in particular, so those can be lumpy. But if you look at the year as a whole, fairly flat from an income point of view. We sold our private banking business in Asia last year, and there was a gain, so you can only sell something once. So that came down a little bit. But overall, you can see net interest income flat to up a bit, actually, over the year. Fee and commission income down a bit. Some of that is Asia as well. But fee and commission income is starting to grow. And those big disposals come through those lines. So income in the bank is flat, and we think it will be stable. We might see a bit more fee and commission income, but stable, fairly modest growth, which is frankly why we're focused on expenses. So at this point of the cycle, we don't want to grow rapidly, so we also need to think about expenses. I know as Kees talked about, a lot of work there. Call it future-proof bank, but it's not just about cutting costs. It's about making the bank future fit so we can operate effectively in the future. And you can see in Q4, actually expenses down year on year, although that circle of 150 incidentals, that's a couple of things. That's taking some expenses for changing the bank, and I'll talk about that in a moment, but also taking some expenses for client due diligence. And that's across the newspapers today. So we said we're booking 85 million to accelerate client due diligence programs. That's doing more and quicker on money laundering and terrorism finance. It's a big theme. And I'll talk some more about how people reacted to that later. Expenses down year on year. I think another, disappointment you can see from impairments. So 200 million impairments in Q4, it's quite a lot. And you can see for the year over, nearly 700 million. So that is a little bit below we expect in a normal year. And given the economy is still benign, we had quite a few questions on that, which I'll touch on in a moment. So I would say, you know, underlying solid, but some of it, from a financial point of view, a bit mixed. So some of things, really good things, that we're investing and getting on with things, so no apologies for that. But impairments, a little bit of a concern, which we'll talk about in a moment. But what does that mean in terms of our ratios? I think you'll recognize this from last time when we put this on the front of our annual report. So our return on equity, we do it by quarter. It's quite low in Q4 for the reasons I talked about, but also we pay a lot of taxes in Q4. But overall, actually for the year, fine, 11%. Cost-income ratio, again, quite high in Q4 for the reasons I talked about. For the year as a whole, actually 59%, pretty good, despite the extra costs we took. So we're feeling quite good on that, and we're on track. And then from a capital point of view, 18.4, strong on capital, although down a little bit on Q3, lots of things going on our numbers, but underlying we feel quite strong. So one thing we said yesterday to the market was we're reconfirming our guidance for 2019, so we feel like we're on track. So I think some mixed results in Q4. I saw someone commenting on that earlier, but we feel the bank is in good shape, and we feel confident enough to guide that we expect 2019 also to be pretty solid. So that's the bank as a whole. I'm going to talk about each of the businesses now, and this is start with retail, but I'll talk about some of the challenges, some of the successes, but also where they're going, where each of the businesses are going. And so starting with retail, our biggest business, and you can see that green line, well, flattish to down. And that, you know, times are tough in the mortgage market. So our market share is a little bit lower than it was at the beginning of last year because a number of our competitors are really, we think, being quite aggressive on pricing. So we have the choice. Do we follow them and earn a low margin on our mortgages for many years, or do we maintain our discipline but see our market share come down a little bit? So we've chosen to do the latter. You can see that. And I think another challenge is, you know, our client base. So it's important that we work with clients, the right clients, and our client base is sort of flattish here in the Netherlands. So a little bit more work to do there. But given that the mortgage market, low interest rates, like the income environment, yeah, it's quite tough in retail and will be for the next year or two, which means it's important that we do other things for our client. We talked about reinventing the client experience. You can see video banking set out there at the bottom. So our clients, 70% of mortgages are handled through video banking. So clients like it. It's also cost-effective, and different people from around the country can work with clients from across the country, so it's really flexible. So we can be future-proof and cost-effective, and it's that sort of thing that we need to do more of. You've got here friendlier future. What's all that about? That sounds good, doesn't it? But that's about developing new ways for our clients to manage their money. And so if we want to serve our clients well and grow the business profitably, we need to do other things for our clients than mortgages and savings, and that's part of that. So we're thinking hard about how to develop the retail bank. And profits down a little bit because in that business, our credit card business, ICS, needs to put effort in on the client due diligence. So 30 million or so for that in the retail bank. So that's important. So moving on to the commercial bank. Again, you can see that green line coming down a little bit. We feel good about the commercial bank in terms of its ability to grow profitably because we think the economy will be strong here in the Netherlands, certainly for 2019 into 2020. But the challenge there is how do we grow it and hold our margins? And the business has done a good job on that in 2018 and into 2019, so we're feeling good about that. I think the line is down. What's going on there? Impairments. So you remember the 200 million I talked about earlier in Q4, a little less than half was in commercial banking. And we had a lot of questions on that from investors yesterday. But also, know your client center. So around 50 million that we set aside in Q4 was for that business to engage in client due diligence. And that's a real priority. So we need to keep our license to operate. And it's all over. It was on the front page of the FDA here, so I expect you know all about that. But we are putting the focus in that we need to do the right things in those areas. Now, moving on to the private bank. So the private bank had a good year last year, I think. So a lot of work happening to bring the bank together across Europe, a lot of change, a lot of work on digital. I think right at the end of the year, markets were difficult. You know, you saw the equity market go down. I think that, that gives the, you know, that worries our clients and is a challenge for the business. But overall, the bank's in good shape. You see, I highlighted here model bank delayed. We're trying to, we're looking to put an IT system that's common across Europe into that business, and it's taking some time. That's really important to get that done in the early part of this year. And you can see we're looking to grow that business. And last year we said we would buy SocGen's business in Belgium, and that should close earlier this year. And so we're all excited about welcoming new colleagues and clients into that business. And the business is also doing really well on sustainability, so making good progress on its target. You know, we feel good about sustainable assets, but our clients do too, which is great. Now moving on to the corporate bank. You can see quite a lot of ups and downs in those bars on the left. The business set out its new strategy in Q2, Q3 last year. You remember the announcements in August about refocusing that business. And we're pleased that business is making good progress on that. So I know it's a challenging time for our staff and many of our clients, but it's important that we make progress on that. And you can see the number actually moving up and down. I think we feel good about the progress we're making. The return on equity for that business was 8% for the year, so actually making progress to the 10% target. More work to do. In terms of the strategy we've set out, over the next year or two, we're really looking for that business to operate within the 10 to 13% range that we expect across the group. So those are each of the businesses in turn. We have a Mentimeter challenge right now. So I'm going to do this, I think, Marloes. So I've talked a lot about the results from our point of view. So at this point, we'll say, hopefully you're dialing in. I'm stalling for time to give our Asian colleagues a minute to catch up. But we've set out some questions. What do you think the questions were from investors and analysts yesterday? We had an hour and a half of questions, which was longer than usual. And we'll see why impairment's elevated. So this is good. I think yesterday was an interesting day, because you get different stakeholder perspectives, investors, the press. We talk, we talk a lot to the regulator, and often they have different points of view on the same things. So, impairments is by far. I mean, what I've learned around investors is not what changes, is how things look compared to what they expected. So it's like having a demanding parent. You come home with A-, and it's like, why isn't it an A? So, it was a B last year, but that's not good enough. So what the impairments was actually, I would say, probably the second biggest question we had from investors. Investors were really focused on the dividend. I'm struggling to read that. That's the one on the left, isn't it? Yeah. So, yeah, they were really fussed about the dividend. And our payout went up, so we paid out 62% of our profit for 2018, which is up from 50% the year before. So we thought, well, that's a healthy increase. But the amount in euros was flat. And you remember we profits were really high last year. So there was some disappointment, and we said, look, 50 to 62 is an increase. The market said, 145 to 145, that looks pretty flat to us. So it's hard to argue with that. They were disappointed, and we'll get on to the share price in a moment. I think the client due diligence, we got very few questions from investors, quite a few from the press, and I think we feel good about that. We were confident it's the right thing to do, very confident. But I think we're maybe worried that people thought we had a big issue like some of our peers. We've got more work to do, but I think actually the general impression is we're getting on and doing the right thing, which is how we feel about it. So that's good. I think the dividend was the issue, which we'll get to when we talk about the share price. So I'm going to click Here we go. Share price. We've got a green line, but it's really a red. So the share price was down 8%. That's a lot. Last year, 1.6 billion euros. So that's a lot of money. And I think it was a bit more than I was expecting. So I think we knew each of those elements around Q4 would be taken negatively. But I was not expecting as much as that. I think the market is quite sensitive to bad news these days. And I am expecting some of that to come back, although it hasn't done this morning. And the reasons were, I think, the ones I gave, which is it's not so much the dividend, but investors are trying to figure out where we are on capital. Because you saw the number 18%, that sounds good. Why can't you afford a higher dividend? And we said, look, we think the dividend's appropriate, regulations changing. We're probably towards the end of the economic cycle, so we're feeling a bit prudent. But that was, that wasn't well received. And you can see right there at the bottom, we're still we're preferred bank, so people like us. But they like us for particular reasons. They like our strong returns. They like our moderate risk profile. And actually, they think we'll be paying more in dividend. And so they still like us in general. But moderate risk, they're thinking, if you guys are moderate risk, how come impairments went up in Q4? And if they're a big payer in dividends, how come the dividend didn't go so up so much? So it's important that I would say what we are and our equity story are closely related. So that was what was going on yesterday, and we'll see in cases in London next week. I'm in New York the week after that, so we'll spend more time with our investors. But as I also say, we don't manage a share price; we manage the bank. So I don't think we should be depressed about this, but it's giving us some information we need to think about. And in general, I think the bank is solid. It's in good shape. We've got a clear strategy. We're delivering on the numbers. And we feel in a solid position going into 2019.
Well, thank you, Clifford. So now we look back at 2018, but what will the next year bring us and... well, maybe even the future. Then I would like to ask Kees again to go on stage and to share his vision with us. Kees, please.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Clifford. With respect to financials, I will not talk a lot about that because Clifford already did. And he said, and that's important, that what we said at the Investor Day in London in November, that our guidance for this year will not change, actually. So in a way, what you say is that what happened in the fourth quarter, we don't expect that to happen every quarter this year. That's actually what we say by that kind of language. And that we also say that although the world market has become a bit more depressed these days compared to 3 months ago, that we still feel comfortable for our bank in the Netherlands that it will perform good, stay within the 10 to 13% ROE, lowering, of course, income ratio and strong capital. Dutch economy will grow by around 2, European economy by 1, so that's a good place to be. But I will also like to take you back now a bit more on strategy and give you some concrete examples around KPIs, because that was what we heard from you, that you wanted to know more about that. I already mentioned that clients were positive, and I told you a bit about why we got to the purpose and to the strategy. That's on this slide. Purpose, 3 clear pillars related to sustainability, related to the customer journey, and also related to the future-proof bank. But it's now time for KPIs to make it more concrete. And I want to give you some examples of that. And we have discussed that with a lot of people in the bank. How can we come in every area to more concrete KPIs? And I will go through some of them. Let's first look at renewable energy. I already mentioned it. The fossil portfolio is around 7 billion loan portfolio. Commitments is more or less double of that. And that was mid when we started with the strategy mid of last year. That was around 10% of that portfolio was renewable, so wind, solar, and the likes. We want to increase that to 14% this year and 20% next year. That's a real change, and that also shows you that we're going to do this gradually and not once in a time. I'm very proud about two transactions I would like to mention. We got awarded for that last year from the Project Finance International. Blauwwind, that was a project where we got an award Deal of the Year in the EU. And Hornsea, we got a Global Institutional Deal of the Year award. And we're very, very proud of both those examples because they show actually that we can deliver also on this in this more difficult portfolio because this is the fossil portfolio we have. Then if we go, for instance, to the sustainable financing of our clients, we have put here the figures $1.5 billion this year, $5 billion in 2021, 2 years from now. Last year, we ended at $750 million. And $250 million is related to completely circular deals. That's the Fairphone, the Homey, Mitsubishi. We have a lot of examples there. And as said, we want to seriously double that this year and then continue to grow. We have a digital investment tool for our clients. They can use it. And that's very important as well, because clients want help, of course, in that respect. Then if we go to private bank, it was already mentioned by Clifford. That's a big part of the bank. We have almost 200 assets under management. So that's really, after our $150 billion mortgage portfolio, those are the two main portfolios of the bank, I would say. And here we have said already 1 year ago, default option for new clients is actually, we have a green mandate for you. And if you say, well, I don't want a green mandate, I want a gray one, or I want some other investments, you can do that as well, of course. But 80%, 80, has said, yes, we want or completely or partly new clients. We want to use and buy the sustainable portfolios of you. So we were very happy with that because it was actually, in my view, two times as high as I would have expected from the start. We started with around $8 billion of assets under management, and I said it's 200, not the complete 200 is invested, by the way. There's, I think, 60, 70 billion of cash, so it's a portfolio which is really invested, is lower. And next year we want to bring that to $16 billion. I think that's then around 10% of the portfolio, which is serious. That was $8 billion in 2016. It's now around 13, 14, and we want to increase it next year to 16. Then if we look at the homes, this is about the carbon footprint. I already mentioned that's a very important part. Our mortgage portfolio is very important for the bank. Every mortgage discussion we have around interest reset or a new mortgage, we ask the question, can we help you to make a house more sustainable? And we have a tool for that, and so on. And we got awarded also here, by the way, by the Gouden Spreekbuis for commitment to sustainability in the Netherlands. We want to grow, and as I said, we want to have this D label on average, 800,000 houses, to an A label in 2030. That is, of course, 11 years from now. So how are we going to do that in the intermediate period? Well, that means that we have now targets for the A and C part of the portfolio to increase, and we will, of course, go forward, go to the A and B, and in the end to the A in the coming years. That's the way we're going to do it. 61 we want to realize this year, 63 next year, and that has to go up. Then if we look at the offices we finance, 23% of the offices we finance, commercial real estate, as a bank, also A and C labels, we want to realize 23% there. And here we want to make a big increase next year. Next year we want to increase that more or less, almost double it to 39%. And also here we are going to use a real estate digital investment tool. Then if we look at our own properties, of course you always have, also to walk your own talk. We're on track here. A label, we want an A label for all our own buildings in 2023, everything. And 72% of those buildings today are already at an A label. So, well, we're making progress with our own properties, clearly. And then I think it's important that you also look at the other targets and the other pillars, and we're working on concrete KPIs there as well. We're not completely ready there, but we find it very important that also, for instance, the Net Promoter Score, we want to increase it, and it's a bit between 4 to 8 points we're thinking about in a couple of years. We're refining it because that's something we are working on. But you will get concrete Net Promoter Score KPIs for the coming period in all the business lines, how we want to improve that as well. And with respect, of course, with employees, we're also making KPIs there. How can we improve there the journey of our employees and come up with concrete KPIs there? They're not yet there. We're working on it. It's work in progress, but we're doing a lot in those work streams as well. And we'll communicate, of course, to you when we are there. Then, already referred to by Clifford, it's very important how our role in the financial system is. And you've seen last year Danske. You've seen another Dutch bank with a large fine. We never communicate, of course, when people ask us, of course, are you under criminal investigation? Did the regulator push you to do this, what you're doing right now? Well, our answer is always, we do not communicate on our dialogue with our regulators, but it's quite clear that, of course, the bar is raised everywhere after incidents that happened last year. And also, the regulators are, of course, also around in our bank and have always remarks about how you can improve. And so we thought, let's take an amount of 85 million last year in the figures as a provision to make a step change here. We've done a lot already in the Know Your Customer. The due diligence is actually a process where you first, of course, have the ID check of your client. Then you check more about your client. Sometimes only the ID. Sometimes you need to know who's the owner behind it, if it's a company. Then you do a risk analysis around it, and in the end, you do all the billions of transactions on the systems. Is there sometimes money laundering or terrorist findings around? A lot of machines are used there as well, especially in the last area. We want to be the gatekeeper. We've done a lot with respect to KYC in the private bank in 2017. I remember when I became CEO then, I visited a lot of offices in the country, and everybody in the private bank said, oh my God, can you ask head office that we can do business again instead of this know your customer stuff, because we don't like it. And I said, yeah, I'm afraid you really have to do it because it's necessary. And to be honest, they did do it in the private bank. We're done there. And I think I feel very comfortable because also now you see cost income going down, returns going up, and we're going to do business again there. And we feel comfortable because our license to operate in that part of the bank is we feel comfortable about that. We did large parts of the commercial and institutional bank in the world. Not everything, but most of the parts. We did the high-risk retail clients, but there are two areas where we want to make a step up, and that is in the credit card area, ICS. That's around 3 million clients. Of course, a lot are already done, but 3 million cards is a lot. Not all our clients, but so we're working on that. And in the SME business, our SME clients, commercial banking, there are a lot of 100,000-plus clients where we all want to check and further make the files more in place. We have stepped up already a lot in 2013. Compared last year to 2013, we tripled actually the amount of money over 100 million. I think it's 120 actually, and increasing this year. And the 85 comes on top of that, 85 million. And we also have now 1,000 people around, and we are going to increase the 1,000 by 400. And that, of course, on an amount of people in the bank of 20,000, 25,000 shows the importance of this. I also mentioned to the press that, and I'm very happy with our colleagues in Utrecht. They did a really great job. I visited them a lot, a couple of 400, I think it is, 400 or 500 people who have worked on the derivative dossier, and we're going to finalize that at the end of this quarter, so end of next month. And that's a great achievement because it means that 7,500 people with a derivative from the bank, very complex, very difficult, have been helped now. And we will also ask a lot of those people, will you join us in the KYC? A lot of them want to do that. So that also helps because it's not only the money you have to spend, but also to find the people to do the job. And I'm really proud of what has been done in Utrecht in that respect. So that's what we're doing. In the transaction monitoring, we're going to invest in new systems, new skills, and also new artificial intelligence. It's all working well. No guarantee. We can also get fines. We can also get letters and stuff and in the newspaper. So I cannot guarantee anything here. The only thing is what I can say is we do the utmost that we can do. So that's what we do. So let's summarize. I'm very proud of, as I already said, our purpose and our strategy. And I'm also proud of the financials. We don't have to worry about it. Because sometimes you see, I was looking at, for instance, commercial banking and retail banking coming down a little bit. And I thought, if I was sitting in your chair, what do you think? Oh, is it good? Is going well with the bank or what's happening? But Clifford mentioned the 8% now for the corporate institutional bank. But be aware that in the retail bank and in the commercial bank and also in the private bank, we are well above 10% of ROE in those areas. So don't worry that although there is some decline, that we are not in a dangerous territory or whatever. We think it's important that to have a serious position also in society, that we take responsibility. And so I'm not happy with the share price, of course, but I am happy with how we are covered in the newspapers today, that we take that we do our utmost as a bank with respect to this gatekeeper role. With respect to the strategy I mentioned, the dilemmas, we have to really discuss that. That's very important. And so we are going to invest a lot in that. We have to stay connected also as clients, and I think of us as colleagues, but also with our clients. I think that's very important. And now we have to, I would say, roll up our sleeves and do a lot of work this year. It will be a great year. I'm very positive about the results for this year, but also for the strategy execution. And we can only deliver there, of course, with your help. So I hope that we are all very engaged to do that. Thank you very much. Before we go to Q&A now, we will see also some further proof points around our strategy in a video.
Ik zal mezelf eerst even voorstellen. Ik ben het nieuwe geluid. Ik ben hier vandaag om jullie te verlossen van die ene brandende vraag. Goed, leuk, top, maar hoe doen we dat en wat doen we eigenlijk al? Het is een selectie, maar toch een heel aantal. Dus ik ga er in hoog tempo doorheen. Laten we beginnen met voorbeelden binnen de pijler Supporting our clients' transition towards sustainability. Klanten ondersteunen in hun omschakeling naar meer duurzaamheid. Duurzame financieringen brengen nieuwe vragen met zich mee. Daarom zorgen wij voor nieuwe antwoorden. Met onze Sustainable Finance Desk. Een team van experts binnen de bank die klanten helpen bij het financieren van duurzame en circulaire businessplannen. Circulaire businessplannen? Ja, graag. Niet minder dan 100 plannen financieren in 2020 als aanjager van de circulaire economie. Concreet? 1 miljard euro aan circulaire bedrijfsmiddelen financieren, waarmee we gezamenlijk minimaal 1 miljoen ton, of liever 1 miljard kilo CO2-uitstoot, verminderen. Dat zet zoden aan de dijk. En het hypotheekgesprek vandaag de dag is bij ons een gesprek met speciale aandacht voor duurzaam wonen. Waarbij we klanten actief wijzen op de voordelen van het verduurzamen van je huis en de financiering hiervan eenvoudig maken. Daarnaast hebben we... Iemand het antwoord? Nee? Niemand? Het Energietransitiefonds gelanceerd, ook wel bekend als het Energy Transition Fund. Hiermee geven we bedrijven die actief zijn in de energietransitie de mogelijkheid om risicodragend kapitaal aan te trekken. Waarbij er de komende jaren ruimte is om te groeien naar een totale fondsomvang van ruim 200 miljoen euro. En, natuurlijk niet te vergeten, olifantsgras. Wat is olifantsgras? Oké. Om precies te zijn is olifantsgras een gewas dat een uitstekend duurzaam alternatief blijkt te zijn voor plastic verpakkingsmateriaal. Het bedrijf Vibers staat aan de vooravond van een doorbraak en daarom staan wij graag aan hun zijde door ze te helpen met de benodigde financiering. Verder hebben we met de bouw van ons circulaire paviljoen Circle veel kennis opgedaan over circulair bouwen en inkopen. Die kennis delen we proactief met klanten en relaties. Een soort circulaire kennisoverdracht dus. Alles om de circulaire economie een versnelling te geven. In samenwerking met de Hartstichting werken we hard aan een rookvrije toekomst waarin niemand meer overlijdt aan de gevolgen van roken. Zo zijn we gestopt met de financiering van de tabaksproducenten. Via onze onlangs heropende Groenbank verstrekken we duurzame financiering voor duurzame investeringen. En particulieren kunnen hierdoor groen sparen. Werkt dus aan twee kanten. De scheepvaart moet ook nog heel wat stappen nemen om te verduurzamen. Samen met de Europese Investeringsbank stelden we 150 miljoen beschikbaar voor het financieren van de groene scheepvaart. Dit is de eerste overeenkomst in Nederland ooit met een financiële instelling op het gebied van investeringen in groene scheepvaart. Best iets om trots op te zijn dus. Wat betreft vastgoed en wonen zijn onze ambities niet minder hoog. In 2030 moet al het vastgoed dat we financieren een gemiddeld label A hebben. Met ons commerciële vastgoed zijn we al flink op weg. Dankzij onze duurzame investeringsdoel krijgen klanten inzicht in te nemen maatregelen, investeringen en terugverdientijd. En met de energiebespaarcheck geven we huiseigenaren direct inzicht in de duurzame besparingsmogelijkheden in de woning en helpen we bij de uitvoering daarvan. Met als doel meer dan 700.000 woningen energiezuiniger maken. En als we het goede voorbeeld proberen te geven, dan willen we natuurlijk graag dat dit wordt overgenomen. Daarom geloven wij in The Right to Copy, waarbij we onze kennis over het energiezuinig maken van onze eigen kantoren actief delen met klanten die ook bezig zijn met het verduurzamen van hun woningen en bedrijfspanden. En zo kunnen we nog wel even doorgaan. Dus laten we dat dan ook nog even doen. We stonden niet alleen aan de wieg van de eerste Social Impact Bond in Nederland, maar als founding partner van Social Finance NL willen we ook bijdragen aan het nog groter maken van deze innovatieve aanpak om maatschappelijke problemen op te lossen. Nog één. We verstrekken samen met klanten kleine leningen aan kleine cacaoboeren, met als doel de positie van deze boeren te verbeteren en ze te helpen ontsnappen aan de armoede. Onze dochter Maas Capital maakt het voor veel ondernemers met grote daken mogelijk om te profiteren van zonnepanelen zonder daarin te investeren, over versnellen gesproken. En met duurzaam beleggen zijn we ook goed op weg en groeien we hard. Steeds meer klanten willen duurzaam beleggen. En wist je trouwens dat nieuwe private banking klanten standaard duurzaam beleggen krijgen aangeboden? Zo zetten we een nieuwe norm. Zo, tot zover de voorbeelden van hoe wij nu al concreet onze klanten ondersteunen in hun omschakeling naar meer duurzaamheid. Tijd om nu zelf ook om te schakelen. Naar een viertal voorbeelden binnen de pijler Reinvent the Customer Experience. De klantbeleving opnieuw uitvinden. Zo doen we dat. In de campagne Spaarverslimmers spelen we in op de grootste zorg van onze klant. Hoe krijg ik mijn spaargeld eindelijk eens in beweging met slimme alternatieven? Met de Florius financieringsbelofte bieden we de huizenzoeker financiële zekerheid nog voordat er op een huis is geboden. We hebben ervoor gezorgd dat een prospect voor ondernemerskrediet niet langer eerst klant hoeft te worden om te weten of hij voor een krediet in aanmerking komt. En samen met de Rabobank maken wij als eerste banken in Nederland betalen met horloges mogelijk, via de Garmin Smartwatches. Een slim horloge en tevens slim bruggetje naar de voorbeelden binnen de derde en tevens laatste pijler, Build a Future Proof Bank. Een toekomstbestendige bank bouwen. We zijn al begonnen. Ik hoop dat mijn stem jullie bevalt. Zo niet, dan hoop ik dat jullie mij daar niet aan het einde van het jaar op beoordelen, maar het direct laten weten. Nu. Dat is namelijk het nieuwe performance management waar we bij ABN AMRO in geloven. Een voortdurend gesprek over ontwikkeling, in plaats van de jaarlijkse beoordeling. Ik hoop trouwens ook dat jullie lekker in jullie vel zitten. Zo niet, dan stimuleren en helpen we je daar graag bij. Daarom is het sinds kort een gespreksonderwerp binnen Together and Better, zodat je hierover makkelijk samen met je team het gesprek aan kan gaan. En tot slot doen we er alles aan om je te helpen nog sneller te kunnen inspelen op de behoeften van de klant. Zo werken de collega's bij PEPA bijvoorbeeld sinds de zomer zelf organiserend en zijn we druk bezig om jouw digitale werkplek op het gebied van HR, IT en facilities slimmer en sneller te maken. Tot zover onze voorbeelden uit de praktijk en het antwoord op de vraag: goed, leuk, top, maar hoe doen we dat en wat doen we eigenlijk al? Nou, dit dus. Mogen we al best trots op zijn, vind ik.
That's quite a video. Now I feel like I'm on a big TV screen, a big show over here. I hope that, well, within a year we have another video with a lot of new examples. It's time for the Q&A session, so I would like to ask Clifford and Case to join me on stage again, and we will fire away with the questions. Before that, I will again explain the Mentimeter. I heard from Australia and Singapore, feels very internationally, that they couldn't connect, so I will explain it again. So you have to go to menti.com and then you enter the numbers 586364. So that's 586364. I hope it works. Okay. The questions will come in.
Very good.
I hope we keep it nice, clean, and crisp,
punchy.
And short,
okay.
And punchy.
Okay.
You will do that? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. And also, when you're present here in the room, two colleagues are holding a microphone, Jimmy over there, Cornelie over there. So if you don't want to use Mentimeter and ask the questions in person, you are very welcome, and please raise your hand then. Well, first, let's go to the first question. I think this is a Clifford question.
I think it is.
Yeah, number of clients.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about it? It seems that the number of clients has declined in his business line. What about the overall market share in the Netherlands? Do we see fast-growing new competitors?
Well, I think there are a few things there. I think we'd like to grow our client base here in the Netherlands, and we also need to work with clients that work for us. So I think that's in particular in the corporate bank where we need to be a bit more selective. Do we see fast-growing new competitors? I think we all see different competitors, particularly fintechs, but also ING, I think, is talking a lot about growth. Clearly we want to grow, and we need to do that in a profitable way. And I think we've set out the plans that Kees set out by being a sustainable bank, a big sustainable bank. We think we can be more attractive to our clients, which is in their interest and ours.
Okay, thank you. I think I see a question for Kees. It's very little over there. How do you support on women in leadership, diversity, and in the inclusion programs in 2019? Can you tell us something about that? I think you're very passionate about that as well.
Yeah, I think what we started at the top, actually, with the Exco One, where we 2 years ago increased, actually, the gender from 23% to 37%, actually, around that. So that was really a clear increase. But, of course, it should be in the whole bank. Diversity is also a cultural diversity. And we were, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was invited in the SER. Queen Maxima was there, and some ministers, and we were one of the three companies that were selected because we were cultural diverse and made a big increase there with respect to that element as well, bicultural. So that's also an important one. So we work a lot on it. We have figures. We measure it with KPIs. We want to get to 6%. The average goal in the Netherlands is 3 there. And gender is, of course, a 30. So, yeah, we're working on all the levels and especially the top levels because that's, that of course, often the more difficult
one. It has to start over
there. Yeah.
Yeah. And the more difficult one as well. There's a question from somebody in the audience. It looks like the mic is working, so.
Yeah, thanks for the presentation. And I think we can be proud of a lot of things. But still, we saw the financials and you explained some of it. But they are significantly lowered compared to 2017 and due to some one-offs, which is explicable. But what are the expectations for 18 and how are going to we grow again and how can we avoid those one-offs in the future?
Yeah, there are a few questions there. So, look, I was very open about some of the issues. I think it's important that we do so. Kees talked about client due diligence, so we make no excuses for that. I think impairments is unwelcome, and we can't. Clearly, we expect to get payback, but we make a margin to do so. And Kees set out why we're feeling confident about guidance next year. We none of us have a crystal ball regarding the future, but I think our core strategy is well appreciated by investors. I think growth, and I see a number of questions about growth. To be blunt, our investors actually don't like growth, or at least a lot of growth. What they like is profitable growth, and if you can't grow profitably, they'd rather we didn't grow. So they like our discipline in mortgages. They like, frankly, what we're doing in the corporate bank, which is actually to bring that to refocus and bring down the size of that business. So focusing on profitability is what our investors want. I think it's important that as and when we deliver on that, it'll get recognized. I think in terms of our share price, look, Q4, we weren't seen to actively deliver on those promises in one quarter, and that's what the share price is reacting to. But if we deliver on the strategy that Case set out, manage our business in a moderate risk way, I'm confident that that will show through in the share price in due course.
Yeah, I would like to add 2 points actually here. First, if you look at the value, the market cap of our bank is around 19.5 billion, which is in line with equity in the company. And not many banks these days in Europe have that. If you look in the Netherlands, I think ING is 15%, has a discount of around, I think, 40 billion, 42 billion, while they have an equity in the company of 51 and the value on the stock exchange is 42. So there's a discount of investors there. So don't look only at the last day or the last quarter, but take it more general. French banks have a discount of 50%, by the way, and German banks 75%. So that's one. Secondly, growth. I think we will do it organically when we can do it profitably. So that's what Clifford said, and that's appreciated. But we have the money in the house today also to look at inorganic growth. And that's what also is in our agenda this year. Last year, SocGen we did, but we will look in the fintech area, we will look in the private bank, and we will look in all the parts of the bank. Are there nice add-ons, perhaps, that can help us also to grow, also inorganically? But we will only do that if that's really fits us, but we are very, actually, capital-rich to look into that area as well.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think investors and shareholders are on your mind today, I see. Clifford, a question for you. Do you think our strategy is sufficiently supported by our investors? You have been talking to them.
Yeah, I mentioned that. I think it really is. And if I think about investors' reaction to the Investor Day that we had in November, they really support that. And the announcement we made in August regarding the corporate bank, that's well supported. I think in terms of sustainability, I think I often get the question, not so much from investors, but from do investors really get this? Are they really prepared to pay for sustainability? And I think it's clear that things have changed in the last, I would say, 2 to 3 years. So sustainability is well supported by investors. You hear about BlackRock is the biggest investor in the world, writing to CEOs, including Case, about this. Mm-hmm. So if we can deliver on that and deliver on our KPIs and show resilience, then I think that will come through in the share price, as I said earlier.
And the whole market went down. Eh? I mean, we had indeed, I think at the beginning of last year, a premium to book of 30%, and today it's around book. But take the other large bank, ING, had a 20% premium and has now a discount of 15%. So it's the whole market went down, actually. It's not only ABN AMRO that went down.
Case, when do you think 2019 is successful for you?
Well, delivering on good financials again, because that's very important. But also our license to operate. I think what I said, the investment we did, actually it starts with your license to operate, and that's the KYC and that's the customer due diligence stuff we invested in and asked for attention for it. Then indeed making money, and then making money in the right way, in the good way, sustainable way. So that, I think, is very important. And then execute on strategy. With all those examples I heard, I'm very proud about those.
Yeah.
And we have to find more and also showcase them outside the bank that we're really working on it.
So next year, a really new video with a lot of new
examples.
Yeah,
much more examples, and then really, that's good.
Okay. Clifford, a question for you regarding the impairments again.
What's the story behind the CB impairments? So I think I said in Q4 there were 200 million of impairments. Actually, a bit less than half was the commercial bank, and more than half was the corporate bank. And within the commercial bank, which is our Dutch business, actually around half, we would call that model changes. So I would say technical changes we don't expect to repeat, and half was across a range of sectors. But in an economy that's going well, not every business is doing well, and that's what we saw in Q4. I'm hopeful we'll see things normalize in 2019 around this.
Okay. We have a young man over there.
Thank you. I'm a compliance education advisor from Compliance, and I'm initiating a virtual team on training and awareness on CAMEL-related topics, so AML, terrorism, financing. My question to Case and to Clifford is, what's the most important skill that our colleagues should develop to make the society more safe and to stop all the criminal euros that are being money laundering in the world?
Yeah, well, that's not an easy question. but let me give two answers. Cybercrime, eh? Cyber attacks these days. We are talking about it in our bank, but clients also. Eh? I heard an example yesterday of a company, a photo company we help finance actually, who went bankrupt actually, because there was a cyber attack and they had a big appointment from Rijkswaterstaat. Photos around, bang, cyber attack, disrupted, stuff gone, whatever, bankrupt. So to help our clients in the digital world, positively, but also against the cyber attacks, is something where we have knowledge in the house, which we can give to clients. I'm very sure about that. We have to develop that further. I was two months ago with Daphne in Tel Aviv, and we use their company, Tetray, which with algorithms tries to find out in the billions of transactions. We use now two algorithms, and they are improving it now to seven, so that you do not only have, there are always things you can look for, but they make it much more advanced. You cannot do that yourself, but which is available, can also, this of course for larger clients, we can also help them with that. So I think that there is a lot around the with respect to protecting against cybercrime and helping in the digital world. I think that helps a lot. And then on the sustainability area, I think I mentioned the example of shipping, where the large shipbuilders already are there, but the smaller ones can use examples of our larger clients. So with information, I think that is, I would say, ABN AMRO has always been known for knowledge and entrepreneurship. And this knowledge part we should use now also in our conversation. Because if not, you're only talking about the price. What is the margin we can, blah, blah, blah. So it's also that they should appreciate you about the quality of advice you give. That's how people stick to you as a bank, I think.
So what I hear as a skill is digital skills, but also collaboration with our clients, with all the colleagues in ABN AMRO.
Best examples, give the better examples, share them. With your clients and ask them what is your issue, and then find the bank where we perhaps have answers to those issues.
Okay. Can I just comment? I guess I think it's great that we have a question from our compliance colleague, but compliance isn't just the responsibility of compliance. So I think I would say our most important skill is own your controls. Right. This is our license to operate, our license, your license. So the example that Case gave of the private bank, we've all learned a lot, but those controls are our controls. So it's not ticking the box that you're doing for your boss or the accountants. It's for you, and it's for me. So that I think if we all do that, we can really make a difference.
Thank you very much.
Was sufficient?
Yeah. No.
Thank you. That's good. I think a question from our international colleagues. I think it should be the last one. Do we want to plan to grow worldwide?
Yeah, I think we are at this moment in time for 80% in the Netherlands, but as already mentioned, mortgage portfolio, competitors, and there's also, of course, in the mortgage portfolio, that the government, of course, very much wants you to redeem your mortgage and to have lower debt. So the growth in the Netherlands is limited. And that means that, indeed, if you want to grow, that, it's the world. It's not so much only the Netherlands. But the caveat here is very important. We are not going to grow just because we are going to grow. So my request to everybody who comes up with this question is always, do you have examples of profitable growth areas in the world? Because, yes, we're interested in that. And, of course, it should be aligned with the stuff we do. So that's the private bank. If we look at our skills today, we have selected international business. That's the private bank in Northwest Europe. That's the clearing bank in the world. And that's corporate banking in all pockets of the world, China, New York, Brazil, and in Europe, Australia, Japan, we're everywhere, but we only want to do business where we are knowledgeable and we don't get the impairments, because you should not be Alice in Wonderland in the world and get the stuff other banks in those countries, the larger bank in those countries don't like, and you think you can do, and in the end you end up with a lot of impairments. So profitable business growth outside the Netherlands, yes, but cautiously.
Okay. Thank you very much, both again, Kees and Clifford.
Thank you.
So, thank you all for joining us at this event. Australia, Asia, Europe, and everybody here present in Amsterdam and Eindhoven and Zwolle. It was a pleasure to have you all here, and hopefully we will do it again next time. Thank you again.